guide, Shannon. Just a note before you listen to this episode, if you are new to Southern Mysteries, this isn't a typical episode. This week marks the one-year anniversary of the podcast, and it also happens to be the week we celebrate all things ghoulish with Halloween. This episode does contain some darker content that may not be suitable for all listeners. On April 22nd, 1930, a beautiful, dark-haired woman walked into a hospital in Key West, Florida. There, she encountered a man who knew her the moment he saw her. This was his soulmate, the woman of his dreams. Some say this is a love story, but in truth, it's one of the most haunting reminders that desire can drive you to obsession and self-destruction. This is the ghoulish story of Carl von Kossel and his obsession, Elena Hoyos. This is Southern Mysteries.
It's gonna be all right. These ain't dark or troubled times. It's a day like any other day. You got a dark and troubled mind, all right. You hold that baby tight, and I swear if you can hear me, then everything gonna be just fine, all right. All right.
Welcome to Southern Mysteries, exploring historical mysteries and legendary figures of the American South. I'm your host, Shannon Ballard. Carl Tanzler was born in Dresden, Germany on February 8, 1877. We don't know much about his formative years, but we do know that during his youth, he was said to have had a vision of a distant relative who had passed away many years before, Countess Anna Constantina von Kossel. Carl would share later in life that during one of his visions, Anna revealed to him the face of a beautiful, dark-haired woman. And in that moment, he knew this woman was his true love. He felt he was given a gift of knowing what she looked like before he even met her. And he felt that when he met her, he would be with her forever. As Carl Tanzler matured, he was known as a very confident man, a bit of a genius who could impress just about anyone he met. He used his confidence to maneuver his way through life and get what he wanted. Well, confidence and some lies. Tanzler claimed to have 9 university degrees and claimed to be an expert authority on different branches of science. But to this day, there are no records of those degrees Tanzler claimed to have. He spent much of his 20s and his 30s traveling to Australia, India, the South Seas, and Italy. In 1920, when Carl was in his 40s, he met and married Doris Schaefer. They had 2 daughters, but von Tassel's frequent travels added stress to an already strained marriage. Following an unsuccessful attempt to immigrate to Australia, Carl set sail to America in 1920, and by 1926, he had settled in Zephyr Hills, Florida, where his sister was living. In time, Doris would join Carl in Florida. But within a year, he abandoned his wife and his 2 daughters and relocated to Key West, Florida, where Carl Tanzler took on a new name. He told people he was Count Carl von Kossel and claimed he was a descendant of an old German aristocratic family. Despite having no medical credentials, Carl von Kossel used the power of persuasion to convince a U.S. Marine hospital to hire him as an X-ray technician, working with tuberculosis patients. Due to his obsession with himself and his grand stories from his past, which most of his coworkers knew to be lies, von Kossel was not well respected or particularly liked by his colleagues. He had left his family, found it hard to connect with anyone at work, and needed a way to fill the empty space and time at home. That's when von Kossel decided he would be the man to find a miracle cure for tuberculosis. He created a home laboratory and hoped to find answers to a disease that, at the time, was a death sentence for all who were diagnosed. He was committed to that miracle cure until the day a woman walked into the hospital in Key West. The day Carl von Kossel met Maria Elena Hoyos was the day all of his passion and commitment to this cause began to shift from passion to obsession. Elena Hoyos was 20 years old when her mother brought her to Key West Hospital, where von Kossel was working. Elena was from an old Spanish-Cuban family that had been well-to-do in Cuba, but had fallen on hard times. Her family had moved to Key West, where her father went to work in a cigar factory. Elena was known as one of the great beauties of Key West, and friends described her as someone who was jubilant and full of life. But friends and family had noticed that Elena had lost some of the vigor and energy she normally displayed. And she had a cough that just wouldn't go away. That cough and her family's concerns were what led Elena to be in the Key West Hospital on April 22, 1930. Carl von Kassel was called into the room to take blood tests. When he entered the room, he didn't see Elena's face because she had turned away as he was preparing the needle for blood work. He drew her blood, and when he was done, he looked up to apologize to her for any pain or discomfort she may have experienced. Years later, Carl von Kassel would write of this moment, noting, "I looked into the face of an unearthly beauty, the face of my dreams and visions, the face of my bride who had been promised to me by my ancestor 40 years ago." That moment, Carl von Kassel set eyes on Elena Hoyos with her raven black hair cascading down around her shoulders. He truly believed he had finally met the love of his life. Within days of this encounter, Elena was diagnosed with tuberculosis. Carl von Kassel promised Elena Hoyos that he would find a way to cure her, to save the woman he knew to be his soulmate. Von Kassel broke all manner of hospital rules and policies to try to help Elena, including private exams in which he illegally transported hospital x-ray equipment to Elena's home for treatments. And Carl von Kassel obsessively showered Elena Hoyos with gifts. You can only imagine how strange this must have been to 20-year-old Elena, who was being shown so much affection by this strange man in his 50s, a man she met at the hospital, who was now attending to her at her home with all manner of wild treatments that he told her family would bring about a cure for Elena. Elena and her family accepted much of von Kassel's odd ways because they felt it may be the price they had to pay for a little bit of hope. And von Kassel didn't hide his true motivation for why he was going to great lengths to try to save Elena. He openly declared his love for her, but he was rejected because Elena Hoyos was a married woman. On February 18, 1926, Elena had married Luis Mesa. Months before Elena had met von Kassel, she was pregnant and suffered a miscarriage. Shortly after the family learned that Elena had tuberculosis, her husband, Luis, left, abandoned his wife. He would later say he was in an impossible situation. Elena had a very aggressive strain of tuberculosis, and it was contagious, and he believed if he stayed, he too would become ill and die. But Elena remained hopeful that her love would return to her. You can't help but wonder if Carl von Kassel's wife had held on to that hope as well. After all, this was a married man who had abandoned his wife and children, who was now declaring his love to a married woman who had been abandoned by her own husband. Von Kassel continued to share with Elena that he loved her, continued to try to win her heart, and she continued to reject him. And on October 25th, 1931, Elena Hoyos left this world, passing away due to complications from tuberculosis. When Elena died, Carl von Kassel was heartbroken. He asked her family for permission to pay for Elena's funeral, and they agreed. She may have been married, but von Kassel was the man who had been by Elena's side and had done all he could to save their daughter. Von Kassel chose Elena's casket, lining it with rose-colored silk. Once Elena was buried, Carl informed her family that he would be moving into her room at their home, saying that her pillow still smelled of her sweet hair, and Elena's family agreed. Carl von Kassel visited Elena's grave every day. He began to worry about water near her grave and became concerned that Elena was getting wet underground. He informed Elena's family that he had designed and ordered construction of a lavish mausoleum in Key West Cemetery. 6 months after Elena's death, her family granted von Kassel's request to move Elena's body from her grave and inter her body in the mausoleum. But he convinced an undertaker to allow him to make some adjustments to Elena's final resting place. The undertaker allowed Carl von Kassel to re-bed Elena's casket with new sheets, pillows, and clothing. He removed Elena's now rotting clothing from her body and sprayed her body with perfume, covering her in a layer of sterile cotton. He then placed her in a special new coffin that was equipped with valves. Von Kassel used the valves to pour a solution over Elena's body. Elena was then interred in the mausoleum. The name etched in stone outside of the mausoleum did not list her married name, a decision made by the man who had paid for Elena's final resting place, Carl von Kassel. Von Kassel's obsession seemed to increase with each passing day. He visited Elena every night. People who heard of this found it sad, yet somewhat endearing, that he was still clinging to his love for Elena. He became so obsessed with caring for Elena in death that he failed to do his job and was fired from the hospital. In von Kassel's mind, this just meant he had more time to care for his love. Elena Hoyos' family had no idea what was really happening at Elena's mausoleum each night. They didn't know Carl von Kassel had a key to the mausoleum, the only key. And they didn't know that over the next year and a half, von Kassel continued to visit Elena every night, that he would sit inside the mausoleum and listen to Elena speaking to him, proclaiming her love for him. Some nights, even singing to him her favorite song that had been popular in Key West in the 1920s and 30s, a Spanish song that's known as the Black Wedding. Carl said Elena sang this song to him as a plea, sending him a message of what he must do. Listen to the story I was told by a gravedigger of the region. A young man's lover died before their wedding. Without her love, he simply could not reason. Every night, he would visit the graveyard and think about the days she was alive. His tears would fall upon her tombstone, the tombstone of the girl to be his bride. One night, he shattered her tomb. He dug the land and took into his arms the rigid skeleton of his love. And in his arms, he carried her away. What no one knew, no one would have imagined, was that Carl von Kassel had been preserving the woman that had become his obsession in life and in death. And he had been preparing her for a journey and a new life. Late one night in April of 1933, Carl von Kassel carried out his mission, and in doing so, truly believed he was honoring the wishes of Elena Hoyos, who had been singing to him, sending him a message that he would hold her skeleton in his arms. Carl von Kassel rolled a toy wagon through the graveyard that night and quietly removed Elena's corpse from her coffin, embraced the skeleton of his love, and then placed it into the wagon and dragged Elena's corpse home. Home to her own room at her parents' house, the room Carl von Kassel had been renting since Elena's death 2 years earlier. Carl left Elena's body in her parents' home for 3 days. Her family never knew about it. Carl was away, and they never opened the door to her room. 3 days later, Carl returned to the home in a taxi and got the driver to help him load a large box into the vehicle. Elena's remains were inside. Carl had the driver take him to an airplane that Carl had turned into his own private laboratory of restoration. Inside this laboratory, Carl von Kassel began to restore Elena's decomposed remains. He peeled away her clothing and washed her, replaced her rotting eyes with glass ones, put splints around her nose to shape it, and used wire to reshape the form of her body. He covered her in perfume and then made several death masks to cover her face and dressed her in a silk bridal gown. Carl von Kassel would lay with Elena at night and kiss her as if she was alive. And von Kassel would continue to preserve his obsession in a small shack that served as home for Carl and his Elena. Von Kassel continued to, as he saw it, bring Elena back to life over and over again. He stuffed her abdominal cavity with rags, applied wax to her face. Her decaying scalp would be replaced with real hair. Her body would be constantly covered in perfumes and oils to cover the smell of death. Carl von Kassel lived in his demented form of domestic bliss for 7 years, until Elena's family heard rumors about Carl and discovered what had become of Elena. In October of 1940, Elena's sister confronted Carl von Kassel at his home. She told him she had heard rumors that he may have removed Elena's body from the mausoleum. She said she had gained access and knew Elena was no longer there. She demanded answers from Carl von Kassel. Surprisingly, Carl allowed her into his home. And as she was demanding answers, upset about her sister, she noticed a wax dummy on the bed. She was disgusted that Carl had created a likeness of her sister and immediately left the home and called police, demanding that they help her find her sister's body. When authorities entered Carl's home, they learned that the wax dummy was not a dummy. It was Elena's corpse. In 1940, it wasn't illegal to steal a corpse in Florida, but von Kassel was arrested and detained for desecrating Elena's tomb. Carl von Kassel was forced to undergo a full psychiatric exam and was found mentally competent to stand trial. During his trial, he testified that he planned to take that airplane that he'd used as his laboratory. He referred to it now as an airship, in which he planned to take Elena into the stratosphere so that radiation from outer space could penetrate her tissues and restore her to life. But Carl von Kassel's legal troubles were over almost as soon as they started. Charges were dismissed because the statute of limitations had expired. Carl von Kassel's case made national news. The public reaction was not one of revulsion or disgust. Carl von Kassel found overwhelming support, especially from women who found the story to be a strangely romantic one. Von Kassel was seen as a man willing to commit to and love a woman far beyond until death do us part. Due to the fascination with the case, Elena's family agreed that a local funeral home could put her body on display as a sort of final memorial to her. Over 6,000 people came to view Elena when she was on display. Von Kassel made an unbelievable request of the judge in his trial. He had asked if he could have Elena's body back when the charges were dismissed against him. But her family wanted to ensure that von Kassel could never find Elena and steal her again. Elena Hoyos was reburied in an unmarked grave somewhere in Key West. Carl von Kassel became a household name in the 1940s. He received letters of support from people all over the world, and people traveled to Key West to meet him and pay his 25-cent fee to view his lab. In time, he grew uncomfortable with the fame and attention and left Key West. Von Kassel moved back to Zephyr Hills, Florida, to live with his sister. And it was there that von Kassel found support from an unexpected person. His wife, Doris, who he had abandoned. She supported him financially, but they never reconciled their marriage. While von Kossel had been busy playing house with Elena's corpse in 1934, their 10-year-old daughter Krista had become ill and died. Doris wrote to Carl to break the news, but he didn't attend the funeral of his own daughter or even send money to help with funeral expenses. He ignored the message and focused on buying gifts and clothing for his corpse bride. By 1944, Carl had moved into his own home and proceeded to build a shrine to Elena. He fashioned a model of Elena's body with a death mask over the face and placed it in a casket in his home. Von Kossel once again withdrew from the world and returned to his domestic bliss with a memory of Elena. In late July of 1952, police were called to the home of Carl von Kossel for a welfare check. When the local sheriff opened the door, the smell of death permeated the 76-year-old's home. Carl von Kossel has been called a folk hero, a romantic, a man willing to do anything for love. But some say Carl's death revealed the truth as to who he really was. Von Kossel's obsession led him to hope against hope that he could possess, not love, Elena. He played a game of make-believe and lost all sense of reality. And for a long time, it must have felt exhilarating to von Kossel to act out what he imagined to be the love story for the ages. But in reality, von Kossel was simply a grave robber who held a wedding ceremony with a corpse in the dark. A man so withdrawn from the living that no one knew he had died. Carl von Kossel died on July 3rd, 1952, 3 weeks before his body was discovered. When authorities entered the home to remove his body, they found that Carl von Kossel was on the floor with a life-size replica dummy of Elena Hoyos near his corpse. Carl von Kossel shows us that, as Emily Dickinson wrote, one need not be a chamber to be haunted. For some, the real terror is found within themselves. Southern Mysteries is hosted and produced by me, Shannon Ballard. You can learn more about Carl von Kossel and Elena Hoyos in the show notes for this episode at southernmysteries.com. There you can also listen to past episodes and subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. This week marks the one-year anniversary of Southern Mysteries. To those who have listened since the first episode was released, and to those who are listening for the very first time, thank you for making the first year of Southern Mysteries an absolute pleasure. Thanks for listening. It'll be all right. We're careful.